I know we shouldn't share inside training, you know, that people make it isn't good to do that. But I was greeted this morning with a family with goggles and stethoscope and a temperature bottle. And we obviously can't, wear goggles. Well, we probably were too late in getting into goggles. But I suggest that you, some of you might have an opportunity, transparent glass of plastic with a little oxygen in back. And if we can invest in that, we will be ahead of the game as we go down the corridor of time. That's just a business thing for you. And I suggest, if you have time, and someone said, turn a water jug upside down and cut off the bottom. Well, that's not as nice as a professional one. So that's just a half a thought. I want you to have lots of everything, and you'll be ahead. Think of in China, they're going to be needing your helmet because they won't have one. We're ahead of them. Over, if you would, please, to the book of Romans and chapter 11. Romans in chapter 11. We won't get too far in this, but tonight that's where we'll put the pieces you are looking for together, probably. Now, in the light of that, so here we are looking, and in Romans chapter 11, you have the end of the movement to tell you, for God to tell us, what about Israel in the light of the church age? And as you come to the end of chapter 11, you will note, if I can, starting in verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him, he's the source, remember. And through him, that's how everything has to work out, through him. Each moment of each day, and of him, and through him, and to him. He starts it, he makes it work, and he finishes it. He's the object. So he's the beginning, and he's the end. And then you want to note, to him, he's the beginning of all things. To whom? Why all things? To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God, you're the beginning, and you're the end. And everything in between, it's up to you to make it all work. In your wonderful, purposeful design. Now, having said that, and understanding that, I got to lay the foundation afresh, if I may. Isaiah, and chapter 43. Isaiah and chapter 43. And God is the creator, and he's the only God. I just want, for time's sake, would you go chapter 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, that's Israel, we just mentioned. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen. Reason that you may know and believe me. You may know and believe me. Know God. And understand that I am he. You need to understand that. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I'm the only one. That's very important. And add, verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the beginning, I make everything work, and it all comes out, I'm at the end. Now God, you are a glorious, glorious person. And God is what he's going to do, as we just read in Romans 11. Whatever I'm doing is for my glory and honor. No one else, there is no one else. God, like the artist, the brilliant artist, the architect, they want to express themselves. The artist wants to create his heart and mind, and he designs, he draws, he paints, he builds. God exceeds our little finiteness, and God is God, and he wants to be God and wants to express himself. Hang on to that. He delights to express himself. It is for his glory. Now, so when God does what he does, God is the only creator and the only savior. Now, God, you want to express your wonderful person. I do. Now, God, in expressing your wonderful person, how are you going to do it? In all of your attributes, essence, nature, being, how are you going to do it? Well, God says what? I'm going to go and show my wonderful, wonderful person. I'm also going to show what it is without my person. With my person and without my person. Otherwise, you won't appreciate. You won't understand. That's why God gave to angels choice. They had to have choice. They had to be able to choose. Do you understand that? Humans have to have choice. They have to be able to choose. You must be able to choose. You aren't robots. We aren't kangaroos. They're all instinct. They don't have any problem following. Spider doesn't have any problem following through, making the same nest, having never been taught anything about it, makes the same nest all over again. They have instinct. We have God. Now, that's very important, because over in Isaiah, if I can, in chapter 45, not very far away, we need another piece of information. And in Isaiah chapter 45, you will note, please, I'm going to go and read verse 6 for the little bit of context. Well, I'll read verse 5 even. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know, with reason, from the rising of the sun, and from the west, the rising, setting of the sun, the length of the day, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. God, what else are we to know? Verse 7. I form the light. I am the light. I form the light and create darkness. The word create is the same as in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created bara out of the heavens and the earth. It's the same word. Now, God, your light, and you create darkness. Aha. Now, God, who could ever know that? Who could ever understand the magnificence of your being? Well, God said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to show you and demonstrate who I am. Hang on. Now, in verse 7, I make peace and create evil. I create it. I create evil. I create darkness. Wow. How am I ever going to know? God said, listen, I'm going to give you a demonstration of God's magnificent person. Therefore, darkness, and therefore evil. Verse 7. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord. I do all these things. I do them. Now, you need another piece. Over to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah and chapter 5. And you would recall that which you're familiar with. In all of the woes, here's the one we want to make sure we understand. Isaiah chapter 5, going in verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. Now, just a simple illustration case it would help. If you had a hot water faucet, a sink, and you have hot water and cold water. This is hot, cold. And we decide that we don't want to have that. Now the hot water is still hot, and the cold water is still cold, but what we're going to do is change the label. And we're going to call the hot cold, we're going to call the cold hot. Now we know that we did that. We know we did that. So obviously the hot is going to be still hot, and the cold is still going to be cold, but we changed the label. But after a while, we don't remember we changed the label. And hot is cold, and cold is hot. And then we have a couple of births, children, and they never knew we changed the label. They never knew. They were raised. The hot is cold, and the cold is hot. Do you understand? We're raised with this. What are we raised with? Evil is good, and good is evil. Darkness is light, and light is darkness. We're raised with it. We have to overcome it. It's part of our world. Now, hang on. Therefore, if you keep that in mind, if you would, and now, having said that, and God, are you going to, what is God, what is it, what is evil? What is it like to be without God? God is good. Take away God out of good, you know that illustration. Take G-O-D out of God, and you've got what? Zero. Zero. That's all. What is it like to be without God? It's called evil. Evil. God, do you want, you're creating the angels and us to be able to understand your magnificent person. You created us. What would it be like without you? Could we exist without you? And God's going to help us. That's why, before the foundation of the world, before angels, what did you do? God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be born in Bethlehem, was what? The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. We did this, all these things. So God, before anyone's ever created, you already died. You already, the Son of Man, died. But he has nothing to die for. But God, what are you going to do? You're going to create and display your marvelous person. And therefore, how can that be done? There has to be darkness. Darkness. There has to be evil. In order to be able to understand God's wonderful, creative, awesome, purposeful design. Wow. Now, so having said that, so God, what is it like to be without you? No. So the Christ died on the cross for us. He's going to die, and there's nothing to... It wouldn't make sense. If you were an angel, it wouldn't make sense back then. Now, so having said that and moving along quickly, keeping your idea, God, what you do and how you do things, you do it. And everything has choice. Choice has to have choice. And God, you do things in your most wonderful management, providential management, which is what we're looking at, and in the wonderful way you do things. And therefore, you provide. And the word provide means, has the little word provide before, to see before, to see beforehand. That's the word provide. Provision. Providence, to see before and know before. To see before and know before. to be able to have provident. So who's minding the store? Or who's watching anything? God is. God isn't an absentee landlord. He isn't. God, you're here. That's what he told you. He said, I start it, I end it, and I make everything work in between. And that's the way it is. But, no buts. We got to figure it out, God. That's our problem. We just don't get this. Because evil's good and good's evil, and darkness is light and light is darkness. Wow. So now, God, having said that and keeping that, so God, you're going to outwork your most wonderful will and most wonderful way. And in doing so, we need to be mindful of the fact, when we do this, at least a little bit, everything and at all times, there's nothing anywhere, anyhow, in any way, shape, or form that is not subject to God. Not subject to God. All that exists is to outwork his glory and honor, to demonstrate his marvelous character, being, essence, nature, being. And humanity is free to function, using us in particular. We're free to function, we're free to choose. We're able to do, we're able to act, we're able to speak, we're able to think, etc. We're able to do all these. But always we are limited to in our freedom to do everything. But we can't do everything, because God overrides, and God's will and God's word and what God is after, that always prevails. So we're free, but we're not free that way. We're free. We're bound. We're on earth, we're free. But the laws, gravity, we can't defy the laws. You have to go by the laws, law and science and nature and every other place. And we have to go by them. All we do is try to know them and then use them properly. That's how we went to the moon and space and etc. We followed the laws and didn't break them. That's why we could do them. And we're free, but we're bound by the laws. We're bound by Satan's rule. He rules. You're going to see that in a minute. He's the boss. So who's the boss over everything? He is, but he's under God. But we don't tell Satan what to do, and we can't control him. He does what he wants, as he wants, in the will of God, under the will of God. He has a program which he's after in God's wonderful, glorious plan, and God's allowing it. And so not only do we have then the laws of nature and Satan, but then we have the worldly governments, governments, kings, queens, dictators, all kinds of things, political, religious, social. We got them. We're living in them. We're living. We're bound. We're free, but we're not free. When you line them all up, we're free, but we're not free. That's the whole point. We think we're free, but we really aren't free at all. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, gangs, think if you lived in some cities, in some places, more so now, Mexican gangs coming in, all those different things. And what have we got? If you live there, they burn the place down, do whatever. And what are you going to do? You'd say something, but you don't want to say anything, because who knows about your wife, your children? Who knows what's going to happen? Your job, man, you shut up like the mafia. Mafia is strong. Gangs are strong. You don't overcome a gang. You're subject to the gang. You're subject to the system. We're free, but we aren't free. We aren't free. The world system in all of its different ways, the goggles and everything else. We're free, but we're not free. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, now a little exercise. Over, if you would, please, in your Bible to Genesis in chapter 3. Genesis in chapter 3. And we're trying to get an understanding of what we're looking at. Why? What do we need to understand? Here we are. Now, hang on. Now, Genesis chapter 3, one of the in the thing to stimulate Eve was to let her know, having an understanding of God, He was good. She needed to know that God, and the devil knew this. You can know the difference, verse 5. God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods. Remember, we've said that 500 times over the years. That's Elohim, God. There are no gods yet. There are no gods. So they put it there because what they're saying is that you will be like Elohim, God. Elohim is God. That's the word Elohim, plural. Then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing what? Good and evil. Does Eve know evil? No. Does she know God is good? But God has an advantage. God knows evil. Adam, my husband, and Eve, we don't know evil. Wouldn't you like to know evil like God? Aha. And then, of course, she disobeyed, etc. We did all of these things. And ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, having done that, she became the custodian housing evil. And without turning there to Mark chapter 7, 18 to 23, you don't have to turn there. God tells you about your human heart. And in a human heart, among all of its character and makeup, among everything else, it's evil. What do you mean, evil? The heart without God, without good, evil. There is no. You're evil. So, Adam and Eve, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they lost the good. All they know is God, who's good. They're going to believe and be saved, Genesis 3:15. They're going to believe, but, and put a coat of skin on that God is going to give them. They were going to believe, but they know God is good, but they know evil. They know evil. Cain, their first son, is evil in particular. Now, having said that little bit, being evil. Now, what about this evil that even Adam are housing? They're carrying it in their body. They're going to convey it to Abel, Cain, and all the rest of them. And here we are, the subjects. We have inherited that from our father, Adam, all the way down. So we all have that problem in our hat, evil. And that's why we aren't so quick to understand everything, because why would we want to call evil evil when we're evil? Why would you want to call yourself, tag yourself, so we're going to call us good? If people are good, don't you ever hear that? People are good, they aren't bad. Oh, they could be bad, but they're good. Hang on. So now, having said that little bit, over to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis in chapter 6. And remember, in the days of Noah, and in particular, I want you to read and note verse 5 in the context of telling us about that. Chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination — we just did that on Wednesday a little bit, the thought process, how we think — that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart are only evil continually. They're evil continually. But, what do you mean? We're able to think, go to bed, get up, go to work, and eat, and do everything without any relationship to God. Evil. What is evil? It's the absence of God. But we're nice. But they're nice people. And human good, all of it. But it isn't good. It's human good, as we call it, like the hot faucet. Evil. But it's good. We don't want to ever talk about that. Who wants to think about this, right? crazy. The days are depressing enough without adding to them. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and therefore Noah, sliding down verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect, complete in his generation, and Noah walked with God. So God, here's Noah, and here's the whole world, apart from his sons and their daughter, marriage, the whole world. And Noah's the righteous man. Uh-huh. Evil, all evil, everywhere. Everywhere. Uh-huh. Over to chapter 8, after the flood. You would recall. And in Genesis chapter 8, may I pick up, please, in thought, right after they came out of the ark, etc., or looking at it, verse 21. And the Lord smelt the sweet, having sacrificed, the Lord smelt the sweet savor, the sacrifice is telling them, they understand that Genesis 3:15, God's going to provide a savior, God is the only savior. Verse 21, and the Lord smelt the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Now why didn't it work, God? Didn't it work cursing it? No, it didn't work. Verse 24, for the imagination, there's your little word, thought process, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. When Adam and Eve sinned, they got an old nature, an old lousy evil nature that doesn't go away. That's why we have a problem, because it doesn't disappear. Hang on to that. That's important. It doesn't go away. There's a reason, lots of reasons now, and purpose for it all. Now, in the light of all of that, so God requires, Noah walked with God and the whole world was evil, and Noah was surrounded. And you'd have to think of the ark and building the ark at 120 years, and he's surrounded by evil. Does it get better? No, it stays evil. Evil, 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 evil. That's what it does. Hang on. So, and here we go from Noah to Abraham. And Abraham's out there, and apart from Job and people like that, it's a world. It's an evil world. A family on the other side of the flood, idolaters, etc. It's evil. So Adam, here's Noah. And Noah's surrounded, and Abraham is surrounded by evil. And there comes Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. And Israel comes along. And Israel is invited to get out of idolatry, out of Egypt, and to cross the Red Sea to the Jordan, and to go out there, to the Red Sea, I should say, and over to the Sinai Peninsula, to Mount Sinai. And Israel did that. They were introduced to God. But they have the problem. They have the problem. It isn't going away. It isn't going away. They still got it. They still got that problem. Evil, evil, evil. Now, and so Joshua comes along, and Joshua and the people conquer the land in God's wonderful will and work. God's what he's doing. That's how you read Romans 11, etc., because God is doing what he's doing. And so when you come to Israel, and go over with me, please, to the book of Judges. Over to the book of Judges, if you can, would. And in chapter 2. And I want you to note, in the days, Joshua dies, and the Israel, remember, they all got an old nature still. Evil didn't go away. Didn't go away. Now, so here we are looking, and in Joshua, and in chapter 2, may I go directly to verse 10. I'm picking up a mood, and there's a context all over the place, but get that. Chapter 10, and also all that generation, were gathered unto their fathers after Joshua died in that. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children, verse 11, of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim. They served idolatry. They served idols. That's what they did. Now, having said that, so now God, hang on. God, you're the only creator. You're the only savior. You're the boss. You're the boss, big B. You're the boss. So God, you're to be worshipped. We're the created. We want to worship the creator. There is no other creator. And we want to understand that the creator that we worship is the sovereign Lord God. There is none other. So there, and no, who else is Lord? Who else is king? No one. No one is. God is. Period. Noah, you understood that. People didn't. They didn't want him as worship. They didn't want him as king. They didn't. In the days of Abraham and Genesis 11 and all that, Tower of Babel, they didn't want him as king. And they weren't going to worship him. They weren't going to do it. Here comes Joshua along, and the people of Israel were to worship God and honor him as king. But that was a struggle. And apart from Moses' leadership and Joshua's leadership, which kept it on course, it wasn't going to hang in there. And Moses said after his death, you're all going to go way out left field. After Joshua dies, they're all going out. Now, here we are looking at Judges. Now, go a step further. So here come the judges along to save all the different judges, all the way to Samuel at the last judge. And he's going to come along, and the judge is going to rescue them from the enemy and for a little bit. And then the people revert right back to the hot water, calling it cold, the cold water, calling it hot. They don't even want to understand that. They just follow the mood until they're free to go back to what they know, what they want. Evil is good, and good is evil. Darkness is light, and light is darkness. We can go back to that. We like that. Why? Because we're evil. If we were good, we wouldn't like it. But because we really aren't good, that's why we go along with all this. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, 1 Samuel chapter 8. Thank you. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, and you will recall Samuel being the last judge, and they didn't want any more judges. They didn't want any more judges. And therefore, you recall the setting. They told Samuel they want a king. So going directly to verse 4, and the Lord, and then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah. Now, what did they want? And said unto him, Behold, thou art old; thy sons walk not in thy ways; they aren't going to follow Samuel at all. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We want to be king. Well, who was king? God was king. Who was to be worshipped? God. What were they doing? They were caught up in idolatry. And that was the trouble. We get a judge, and the judge gets us a little to think about God. And then we think about God, and we're right back to where we were. And we're right back, and we forget, and we get all in bondage again. We get another judge. And we're right back to where we are. Now, this time, Samuel, we want to be like the world. They worship what they want and as they want and as they wish. And they honor the king or the whoever it is. And the king protects them and helps them. The government is there to serve, to be able to help us survive, etc. Now, having said that, now God, make sure, verse chapter 8, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, so that he understood, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, Why? For they have not rejected thee. They're not rejecting Samuel. But they have rejected me, said God, that I should not reign over them. They don't want me to be their boss. They don't want me to be their king. That's what they don't want. And verse 8, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day. So all the way, you got out of Egypt, you've come all the way to the end of the Judges, Samuel, and you guys got the same evil heart. When did anything change? It didn't change. It just stayed and got developed and developed, where we don't even want to think of Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good. We don't even mention that verse or that understanding. We don't even want that in our library, anything like it. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and sliding over if I can, and God tells them what it's going to be like, remember, in verse 18, you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day because you wanted something else. God said you wanted another savior. Go talk to the thing that you think is going to save you. Go use your philosophy, your reasoning, your accuracy, whatever you're working with. Go use it to solve your problem. You don't need me. I'm going to leave you alone. That's why you have the little expression over and over. And God gave them what? God gave them up to their own thinking. He gave them up to it. Go do what you're going to do. Let's see if it works. And of course, it doesn't work. Now, having said that, verse 22, and the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man to the city. And now God, they wanted a king. Now, that God helped them, and God told Samuel how to pick a king from a human standpoint. And they found, here's all these men lined up, and there's a man. Everyone looks like this, and there's a man up here. I can see his head. That's Saul. He's a tall guy. Wow. Well, pick him. Big, tall, stupid, but big, tall. You know, there he is. He isn't, whatever, he isn't where he should be, but you want a king? I'll give you a king. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, to Hosea. God help us to understand all these things. Hosea, and chapter 13. And you'll remember the commentary God gives you to understand. Hosea and chapter 13, may pick up, please, in verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me, in God, is thine help. God, I'm the only Savior, the only Creator, I'm the only one. Verse 10, I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? There is no other Savior. There is no other God. I'm the only one. And when you leave me out, you don't have any. We have gods. No, you don't have any. Because there are no gods. Saviors, solutions. But there are no saviors and solutions. I'm the only one. So when I leave God out, I'm bankrupt. Now, chapter 13, Hosea. Verse 10, and all thy cities, and thy judges, the middle of the verse, of whom thou saidst, give me a king and prince. Now, verse 11, underline it in your mind. I gave thee a king in mine anger. You rejected me, the only God and only Savior, and wanted a king like everybody else. You wanted government. You wanted someone to protect you and keep you and guard you. You got it. But I did that in my anger. So you don't, we have to, anyway, don't get sidetracked. Verse 11, I gave thee king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath. And I raised up David. I raised up David. He's my man. He's my man. He's the man. Yeah, all the way to the millennium coming up. He's my man. I chose him. He was a man after my heart. He was going to let me be God, the Creator, the Savior, Sovereign. He was going to let me be who I am. In all that I am, hang on, able to forgive sin, able to die on the cross, etc., etc. Now, so having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, so here, and but now Israel, that's Israel back then, and I'm going to jump ahead. You don't have to turn there, but if you jumped all the way to Christ is being crucified, going to be crucified. Now, what does the Pharisee and the Israel people shout, chant? We have no king but what? Caesar. Did you guys ever get the evil business straight? No, no. Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. God, are you going to get it straight? Oh, I am. I am. I'm going to do it. It's all going to come out all right. Wow, that's right. Now, God, you're going to do all this. Over to Jeremiah 7. And it hasn't got any better. Jeremiah and then to Jeremiah. Hosea, then to Jeremiah. And then Hosea, excuse me. Jeremiah chapter 7, picking up, if I may, in verse 24. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsel and in the imagination. There's, you remember that way back there in Genesis chapter 6, etc. But they walked in counsel and in their imagination of their what kind of heart? An evil heart. Did you guys, you never get it straight. No, we never did. Oh, it's all yesterday when the dinosaurs lived. No, no, nope. But inclined their ear, but walked in the counsel of their imagination of the evil heart and went backward, not forward. Since, how long have you been doing that, Israel? Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Verse 26, yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Is anyone getting it better? No. The next generation? No. No. No, it's going downhill. Well, oh, the next generation. There's no way the next generation, not the educational system, and what we're up against, they don't even know. They don't even, hang on, I can't, don't jump ahead. Wow. So God, here we are. And here's the people, and there they are, going and going and going. And remember, in the days of Solomon, etc., Solomon, did Solomon have a heart like David? No. No, God said so. He didn't have a heart like David. David wanted God to be God. He was the creator, the king, the savior, and that's what we want to be. He should be who he is. Solomon didn't want that. And to jump way ahead to give it to you, and then we'll put it together a little bit, all the way to the kingdom. Tribulation, we're in the church age of grace. Is the age of grace? No, that hasn't fixed anything. And going to tribulation, battle, hot and heavy, awful, awesome, awful. In order, and God deals with that, and the Lord comes, and he establishes the last phase of the dispensations, the kingdom. Now, what's the kingdom do? Our people that get saved, and they're going to trust God, and they go into the millennium, right from the here to the millennial reign, 1,000 years, and they do, and they're saved. But you know what? They have an evil heart, and all the children that are born just like we are. They need to be saved, etc., in the kingdom of God. Now, and there's no army, there's no police force, there's, oh, boy, they'll love that. No, they won't. No place for it. I read the other, the Attic or whatever that group is. Who knows? I don't even know it. And they said, not only, we don't want the police, we don't want the military. Now, that's pretty good. We got to get rid of the military, bring them all home. We don't need any military. Interesting, isn't it? Ah. And they say it publicly. Is anyone hearing anything? Is anyone yelling? Shh, no, no, no. Shh, shh, quiet, quiet. Don't want to say anything. Don't disrupt it. Make sure you got your helmet. You know, make sure you got your helmet on. And you'll be safe. Now, over if you would. Millennium. What do you know about the millennium? Rule, everything's wonderful, wonderful. You don't die and don't have disease and you don't get the mumps or anything. Wow. But you know why it works? Because God rules with a what? A rod of iron. So you're over there in India, Africa, Canada. Don't mess around. God said, if you don't mind, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. So, and if you thought the mafia was good in some areas or the gangs, powerful, God is something else. So, wow, hang on now, God. So here's the kingdom. And so what did you prove, God, from Genesis to the kingdom? I prove what? That an evil heart, they need to choose, and I died for them so that they could be saved and know me as their Lord and Savior. But they just didn't want to do that. But I wanted it clear to the angels that have no, once they made their decision, it's all over. Good, bad, good angels, bad angels, it's all over. But for us humans, we're born dead in sin, and we have the right to choose life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll have eternal life, a relationship. We're dead, we need to have life. We're in darkness, we need light. Right. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, may I just remind you, back here we are, back to us guys, and we have an allegiance to the flag, Pledge of Allegiance, Republic, for which it stands. The Republic. Is the Republic popular? Whatever you know about the Republic. There's Democrats and everything else. The Republic, you know what it is? We're a Republic. It's the people. The people want people up there, elect people up there in order to what? Represent what? What we stood for back then. That's why we got the Declaration and Constitution. Because what? We want to be able to seek God, know God, honor God, and let God be God. That's what they want in all of its variety and everything else that existed. So here we are looking. And one nation under God. Do you like that? That's Pledge of Allegiance. Is that popular? Is God popular? God isn't popular. I don't hear any, I've said this 100 times during this whole thing. No one's asking, I don't hear the experts and all of them praying to God. He's the one that let it happen. He's the one that can fix it. How fast do you think God could fix this? If God wants to fix this, how fast are you thinking, boom, just like that, if God wants to? But why are we in the place? Because we're a republic. We're one nation under God. Why? We're a nation. We're an odd nut. We're the youngest nation, at least from historically. 195 nations, 214 countries or whatever. Here we are, but little nation. We're very young, 244 years old or something. We're just a little guy. A big England and France and all these countries are so old. Russia and China. We're just little guys. But we wanted to seek God and honor God, and we did. And that's why we got the declarations. Judeo-Christian Constitution, it's about God. It's about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of God. That's what it's about. Now, having said that, Then add to that why we're surrounded by evil. We live in it. Because all nations, including our own, are under the domain of the God of this world. And so you're trying to say, and I'm trying to get there, I won't get there, I can't do it now. Think of David, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk, even though I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death, deep pitch blackness, I'm in it. I will fear what? I will fear no evil. But I'm in the middle of it. I want you to understand you're in the middle of it. Don't get hot, cold, cold, hot, evil, good, good, bad. No, I'm trying to help you get. Because why? What does it mean that God will provide for you? Hang on. I don't get ahead of myself. The end of the declaration. The second paragraph, life, liberty, and pursuit of heaven. The end, the last paragraph, the very end. The very end. Now, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine, God's providence, his management. What were you saying, guys, 56 of you? We're counting on God's management. That's how we got this far in this cuckoo real world. And we're counting on God's management to get us where we're going. And if we don't stay with that management, we're sunk. And how did you say it, gentlemen? The protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor, our honor to God. That's what they did. They signed it with God in mind, the only creator, the only savior, the one to be worshiped, and the one that can only make it work, because there's no way for a republic under God to exist. Think of John Adams, second president. It can't exist without believers, without believing. It's meant for, and we're special, but we're inundated. It's all going away, as understand where it is, what's happening to it. So as all of these, looking at all of that, God, that's what they wanted, one nation under God, providence, God, providence, republic. Those are strange words today. And we could go to 10 years of college and probably never get any of it. Now, you spend zillions of dollars to learn nothing. Wow. That's where we're at. Now, I didn't get to my subject, which is wonderful. But, do you get a little? Now, let me give you something that you can tie it together, because I know it's such a positive subject, isn't it? You're surrounded by evil. And you're evil within. You contribute to the whole problem. Now, our ignorance. We need to understand. Over if you would please. Oh, to Psalm. Psalm 31. All kinds of ways. I hope this little bit would help. God, what are you going to tell us? David. Psalm 31, picking up, please, in verse 4. David, I'm going to read verse 3. Thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. God, I'm counting on you. Pull me out of the net. There are traps, trips, all kinds of dumb things to be doing and having to do in the name of whatever control. Control in order to conform. Pull me out of that net that they have privily hidden. It's a trap for me. 4, thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Now, David say some more. Verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. My times. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Work, home, school. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me. Deliver me? From the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. What did you say, Lord, in John 17 in the upper room before you quit? God, what did God the Son say to God the Father? God, keep them from the pernicious evil one. Protect them. He's the God of this world. Protect your people. Not send them into the battle unprepared, no. If you go into the battle or whatever it is, we go to work, home, school, we go there, we're in it. But it isn't, I need to see it for what it is. Not to be negative, or we need to be wonderfully optimistic by being awesomely realistic. Be real. See things as they are. Say them as they are, at least in your heart, so that you can go down and go, is it all right? Don't be ignorant. Make sure you understand, so you aren't being duped. You know, and then you say, well, I got to defend this. No, I don't got to defend. And when I get my helmet, I'm never going to defend helmets because I sell them. When you sell something, you don't knock it down. You advertise it. So I'm going to advertise my helmets. Well, now if they come out with helmets, that would be awful, wouldn't it? Oh, God help us. My times. Verse 16. Deliver me from the hands of the enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face, God's face. Moses talked to God face to face. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Be delighted to save me. Be delighted, God, to be my Savior. Be delighted to be my God. And you go. How can you ask more than that? I got to quit. Our Father and God, thank you for that little bit. God, help us to try to understand and to get it clearly in our head and heart, clearer and clearer, more wonderful, so that, God, we can go forward with a measure of success, with a greater measure of success, God, that we would be able to be more than a conqueror. God, that we would go with understanding. God, there's no prize for being ignorant. No. God, help us. Thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for your presence. God, thanks. Oh, God, I wish, God, help us. Thank you. Give safety, encouragement. Help us in every way for those that are unable to be here. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name. Amen.